there was a skier keenly labelled highest IQ end of last season.
Yeah, so it's an instructor called Tyler who was at the top of the leaderboard last time.
With some of the changes, maybe filters and algorithm tweaks, that sort of stuff, can you say who actually had the highest ski IQ?
Based off our current analysis, so we're still going through the process of finalising everything from last season, Ted now goes to the top of the leaderboard with the new version of Ski IQ, which is obviously great. We want the best skiers with the highest skill to be at the top of the leaderboard. And the real goal for Ski IQ and the metrics this season was to make it reward more dynamic carving instead of it being kind of getting to a higher jungle, but, you know, more of a park and ridey turn.
So I must say that that news was like music to my ears, because I just, but it's also a testament to you guys. You look at where you're at the moment and you go, hang on, Ted Ligety, we know how good he is, ski with him. But then he's not sitting at the top of the leaderboard with Ski IQ, someone else is. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Tweak it. So then, like you said, so it's not that you want to reward that, it's that you want your system to be truly honest. Hey everyone, this is Tom from Big Picture Skiing. We've got a great podcast for you today. I'm in London, Carve HQ today with founder of Carve, Jamie, lead data scientist, Charlie, and head of product and marketing, Alex. And we've got a really interesting episode. We're diving into what exactly this tech product is. We're looking at what changes, what improvements are happening. Jamie's going to give us the story of how it all began, why it all started. Find a little bit more about the science behind things, some of the new metrics that Carve are bringing out this winter, and then how Alex is sort of shaping the experience you get as a user when you ski with Carve. So great episode coming up. Tune in. Let's jump straight into it. Carve has recorded 344 million turns. Take us back to the beginning. Like, how did it start?
Well, so so my background is physics and then finance as well. And so I also learned to ski very late. So imagine I was about 18 years old, like desperately trying to ski, trying to catch up with my friends and basically thinking, how can I hack this sport to actually be better at it? And I was very lucky to have some great coaches, well, instructors right at the beginning for, you know, about a week or so. But then I was really just trying to teach myself and I was watching videos of how people were skiing and I was trying to get tips from friends. But the whole time I found it like very kind of like stop start and very subjective because I wouldn't know if I could trust a friend or, you know, if I was copying someone right, if I was trying to copy them. And so I really kind of thought, you know, given I was spending all my time, so I was doing a PhD in financial economics and I was spending all my time looking at these time series of data from finance and thinking like processing that data into something useful. And so I was thinking to myself, I know it's possible to put sensors on, you know, anything. And I know it's possible to see how, you know, I actually ski. And then the missing element is if you could take that data and, you know, process it to give some meaningful insights, then I could actually improve my skiing technique. And so I got really excited by this idea of imagine if I didn't have to, you know, wait to see a video of myself. Imagine if I could get that feedback to improve myself in the moment, then I could create this like really powerful experience where I'd just be getting better, you know, every run or even every turn. And so I got really excited by this idea. Very naive at the time, but this was kind of like, you know, sort of 2014. And I was kind of finishing my PhD and I basically put an advert out around Imperial while I was doing my PhD for anyone that could essentially code. Because I was very good at like making algorithms and, you know, my whole PhD was trying to process data into something useful. But I didn't know how to actually make a app really. I'd made my own app to measure my own data, but it wasn't enough to actually kind of create a fun, powerful experience. So that's when I met Pruth, my co-founder. And he basically took all the really kind of basic concepts I have and actually turned that into an app. And we started to sort of put sensors in ski boots and then pitch it to investors who very, very thankfully invested in us in 2015. And then we went to China for about three years in total, but 3 months initially, made the initial prototypes, got some things working. We then started skiing with the US. we then started skiing with the UK team, first the UK team, at one of their ski camps, and actually with David Riding, and then got a lot of data about how to, about what great skiing is. And then from that, we kind of built up and up, had a Kickstarter campaign and grew the team. So yeah, that's the brief introduction.
Okay. Now, like part of it, if this is the first time they're being introduced to Carve, this is kind of what it looks like physically. Do you want to explain the physical part and then the app part? What is Carve?
Yeah, no problem. So Carve is a digital ski coach, and it consists of a physical product, which is this hardware we see in front of us, that fits into your ski boots. So it retrofits into your ski boots. You take out the liner, and then you put this layer in the bottom of your ski boots, where it measures the pressure and the motion as you ski. All of that data is then sent to your phone. And then as you're skiing, it's collecting all that data to give you two kind of experiences. The first one is when you finish a ski run, you can get a ski IQ, which is essentially our measure of how good you are at skiing. Average person is 100. And if you're very, very good at skiing, you can get to 150, 160. I don't know what your ski IQ is, I think.
I think the best I've got is maybe 156, 157 or something.
Yeah, top ones there. So, and then you also have a tip. So that's our kind of analysis of what you can do to improve. And then from that, you can drill down into all the different metrics that, you know, Charlie's been working so hard to basically characterize skiing technique. So that's one format. And the other format is that real-time coaching. So basically, as you're skiing, you can actually have Carve talk to you about one specific part of your skiing to create this very powerful real-time feedback experience. So that's the product.
I think I love your idea, the first idea of an uninterrupted learning process that is kind of just based on this information you've got. And then so you're sort of, it allows you to go through a bit of self-discovery process, right? You're trying to put the power in the hands of individual skiers. Have there been some, what would you say, I'm going to ask the other guys their biggest hurdles they've come across. What's been the biggest hurdle so far to get to this point? Because I'm sure with a tech device, there's a lot.
Oh, the same. This could be a podcast in itself. I think one of the biggest ones was really, really getting a physical product into market is really tough. Very, very low funds, doing things in China, running a production line. Yeah, right at the beginning was definitely
because you're holding like that. Our mic today is part of the insole in here. So what it like in there is. You're holding like that part, it's got to deal with people putting a lot of pressure on it. And
yeah, it's got to be waterproof and it's got to cope with people taking it in and out of boots. So yeah, essentially what we're looking at, this is a pressure sensor with a motion sensor actually put into it here as well on the chips, with these chips here. And you've also got a kind of metal board on the back to make sure it's strong enough. And so what we've got here is about five layers actually of different materials that build up to measure the pressure and the motion. So the pressure is essentially, there's essentially a layer of foam that squeezes when you push on it.
Yep.
Then there's an array of sensors that sit underneath it. And so that means we have 32 sensors that actually kind of show us how your weight is moving across. So yeah. There's a lot of complexity in that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So then Charlie, like you're involved and I mean, his role is super important, right? You're 344 million turns. Can you give us a bit of an insight into like what a data scientist does and some of the things
I mean, so basically what we're trying to do is convert the raw data we're collecting into something useful for people to use and then build that into their own skiing. So yeah, the big question is, can we measure skiing and is it going to correlate with different ability levels? So if you're an expert skier, as you are, and I'm an advanced skier, we need you to be getting higher scores than me. So that's basically the kind of biggest problem that we try to solve initially.
And so in what, maybe you're probably the best person to ask, like what are some of the metrics? So all this data coming in, that's probably numbers. What do they get turned into that skiers who use Carve and they look in their phone, they see? Like, run us through the things it measures.
So we basically sample from the hardware 20 times a second, and that is some measurement of the sensor. So we measure in your motion and your pressure. So with your motion, we're looking at, you know, 20 times a second, where is your ski pointing? And then not only where your ski is pointing, but how that progresses through the turn. And then when we translate that into a metric, what we have to do is turn something that is measuring throughout the turn into one single number that describes something important about your skiing. So one of our best metrics is called edge similarity, and it basically looks at how similar your edging is between your inside ski and your outside ski throughout the turn. So when we visualize the raw data on a graph, you can see this super clearly for an advanced skier versus an intermediate skier. The advanced skier will be doing almost the exact same thing with their inside ski as their outside ski. Their outside ski might be a little bit higher because that's the ski that you're mainly loading against. But when you look at an intermediate skier, it's fascinating. So someone who's doing a kind of wedge parallel turn, starting off with a wedge because they're not as confident to go straight into a parallel turn, they actually, in their raw data, you can see it remain flat throughout the first bit of the turn. Then they catch up later. So visually, we look at that and we're like, that's completely different to your skiing because you're doing the exact same thing pretty much with your inside ski and your outside ski. So yeah, our job as data scientists is we can see this is different, but how do we convert this into a number that agrees with what we can see? So yeah, day to day, that's basically what we're trying to do and make sure that we've got the systems in place to evaluate that we're doing it well.
Okay, cool. Because I know I actually got to try it in New Zealand. I think maybe just after the Kickstarter campaign had taken off, and I remember being so fascinated because you had the mode where I could see, like, I could go through all the metrics, like I could look at how much edge angle I produce in a turn, and even like pinpoint exactly what turn that happened on, and then where my pressure was fore and aft at specific parts of the turn. Like, it was amazing the level of detail you could pick up with this thing. And me being fascinated with the body and with skiing, I was like, I love this objective, like subjective, you know, non-biased data. It's telling me what is happening. And I had a breakthrough because I thought I was in the right position. And I looked at it and these sensors are telling me, no, you're not. You're on your heels more than you think you are on the front of the foot. And I knew what to do with my boots, changed it. Next day, took out Carve and then saw the change in pressure. And anyway, it's fantastic. I think you guys have developed something that gives people power. Alex, like, you're involved in marketing. Like, how have you? Your job is to like take this great stuff, this awesome idea, the science. What have you found interesting bringing it to the skiing market?
Yeah, it's a super interesting question because, look, I think when most people first think about Carve, they think this thing can't possibly work, right? It's probably a gimmick, or like, is it really going to give me advice? That's probably the first reaction people have. And then, especially because if you're a good skier, it's kind of hard to get good advice. You know, if you're a good skier,
absolutely,
you often might even think with an instructor, am I going to get the right advice from this person that's going to help me? And it's a bit of a gamble. And so actually a lot of great skiers will look very hard at which instructor they're going to take, and they're actually quite, you know, choosy about that. I think the first thing is, like, we have actually the inside of our insert here. And I think when people see some of the graphics or whatever we put out in our marketing, it kind of looks like showy marketing. But it's kind of cool actually seeing inside it, and maybe it's kind of hard to see in the camera, but you can see just how much data it's possible to collect. And we can even see, because we've got all of these sensors, we have the ability to see the pressure roll from like your fifth metatarsal to your first as you enter the turn. So we can actually look at things in skiing that an instructor might need to freeze frame a video. Well, we can see that in the data profile. And then the cool thing is we get to work with people like yourself, and we try and balance this across a lot of different instructors, so we're not becoming too biased in a certain way of skiing. And we get to try and construct something which people can use to get leverage on their own skiing. Because once you give some data, it kind of gives them something to play with, which maybe they didn't have. And you'll find, you know, especially people who have quite a sort of
self-starter like hacking mentality. They'll go out and they'll just hack away at a metric and it'll get better and better and better, and they'll suddenly start having an unlock. And I think the challenge for us is trying to persuade people that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we see it all the time.
Do you think there is, have you found there's definitely a type of personality that really is drawn to Carve currently, and maybe a type that's not?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd say we're in the early adopter phase of Carve's life. So I think we certainly have probably the more tech-enabled person. But really for us, if you think you can improve your skiing and you want to find a new way to get to the next level, Carve is perfect. And we do find that kind of person really levels up.
Yes, I would agree. I mean, some of the testimonials you've had of people, I remember going into a ski shop in Sun Peaks, and one of the staff there, an instructor friend, he's like, oh, that's, you know, I can't remember his name. And he's like, he's only been skiing a couple of years and he hasn't had any lessons. He just bought Carve. And it's amazing really? To see. Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy. And his ski IQ, boom, 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 up. And you know what? It makes me think of, like, there's a question I want to bring up here, but like, here's a guy with kind of a blank canvas. He comes to a sport. He doesn't have any biases from other people. He just wants to learn it, have fun. And then he's got this device that tracks everything, gives him feedback. He utilizes it, goes practice, you know, gets in this sort of pattern and this habit of doing it. And, you know, a season of skiing, and he's like really improved. So you guys are in like this unique position to really influence and change people's skiing. And we were discussing a little bit before this morning around, you know, like you've mentioned, you've worked with some associations, different instructors, and used like the balance edging, rotary, pressure the skill set to measure things based a lot of the metrics off that. However, there are some newer metrics coming out. So maybe my question would be, tell us about the newer metrics, and then do you want to maybe change how people learn and analyze skiing?
Yeah, I mean, I can kick us off. I'll probably hand over to Charlie in a bit. I think, you know, when I think about what we're trying to do at Carve, we basically have some principles at the heart of our coaching that we're always trying to bring in. And whether we're trying to coach something very specific and technical in certain areas, there's some things that we really care about. So the first thing is we really try and build this product so it doesn't get in the way of your skiing. I think, you know, technology, you know, when we're skiing, it's like very valuable time. We're on the mountains with our friends. It's expensive, but it's just an incredible place to be, and we're privileged to be able to be there. So with Carve, we try and not get in the way. So we're always thinking about how we adapt our coaching and how we interface with the user to give enough to help an improvement, but not enough to basically break the skiing day. I think that's kind of an interesting thing for us.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which I think you're driving at here, is around giving fast, objective, instant feedback. And for us, we kind of have the luxury to change what that looks like over time. I think, you know, ski associations, they have to teach through so many layers of instructors. Just the communication problem is really, really hard. If you try and drive consistency through a big ski association, it's a real challenge. We can change what we look at every single year if we find a better way to look at something. So I'll hand over to Charlie in a second, but we look a lot at edging. And a good example this year, we were working with Ted Ligety, a 5-time world champ, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. And he was doing something in the way he was edging his skis that we could see in the data that we hadn't really looked at before. And without giving too much of the story away, I'll pass over to Charlie, who did a lot of this work. And Charlie, you can explain about our new metrics.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, exactly. As Alex says, objective real-time feedback is so powerful, because the way to get a higher score is to do this aspect of your skiing in a better way. And if you can stop at each run or each turn, depending on which mode you're using with Carve, you can hear this number, and you know, you can try different things to try and improve the number. But to get the number higher, you need to be doing the skill in a better way. So the metric Alex was talking about that is, yeah, pretty much inspired by looking at Ted's data, talking to him about the way he skis. You know, we've been so privileged to be able to work with him. The metric we're calling progressive edge build. And one of the things Ted does is, you know, he gets on his edges super early and he's building the edge angle, but he's not just kind of doing everything early and then letting things go from there. He's continuing to build his edge angle throughout the turn. So we can see this in our graphs of the real time of the raw data, as I mentioned earlier. We can see him continue to build, whereas a less advanced skier who gets to a high edge angle but then is just kind of holding it there or even coming off it, park and ride turn, longer radius, Ted's able to continue to build that edge angle, whipping his ski around super quickly, tight turn radius, because the higher your edge angle, the more the effect of the reverse camber of the ski whips the turn around. So, you know, seeing Ted skiing, trying to keep up with him as he's skiing in front of you, you can see him doing these incredible turns, and it's an absolute privilege to be able to then look at 20 times a second what is that actually doing to his edge angle. That's one of the new metrics that we've built through working with him.
Yes. It's pretty neat that you can, like, it'll be new for this year. People will be able to take a run, look at their progressive edging score and see where it's at.
Exactly. And then the next run, you know, you might try something else. Maybe you were really committing to the turn, inclining a lot, trying to get lots of edge angle, but you're overcommitting, and then actually you got an inside ski pressure, you're kind of not balanced against your outside ski, so your turn suffers. The next time you do a run, you can try, oh, maybe I'll try and slow it down. When you get that click, that feeling of the great turn, the number agrees with it. So you don't have to be skiing with someone like you who really knows their stuff. You can just look at the numbers. If the numbers are, that they can provide that objective feedback, which, it's just awesome for improvement.
Yeah. I can answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's something also that we see with Carve is, and I think you do this extremely well, Tom, but if you give someone more of a structure to think about their sport, you know, it's not like people don't want to improve. It's just, it's so hard to work out what you might want to do next. And we actually survey this a lot with people who come into our website, and we ask them a few questions. And actually knowing what to do next is, honestly, it's one of the biggest challenges in any sport. And I was listening to a surf coach talking about this, and he coaches the best guys in the world, like Kelly Slater and people. And he was saying, if you can just give someone one thing that's going to help them change something, you make them intentional about it, and they reflect on how it's going in that process, they will improve. Even if it's not like the perfect thing, you know, there might be one perfect thing for someone, but actually just getting someone to know what other things I could change, and let me just be intentional about that and focus on something I can, you know, do I feel something different? You know, I'll try something else. How does it feel again? I think with Carve, you know, we have this opportunity with these metrics we're creating to create like a new way to think about skiing. And that in itself is actually an unlock. So progressive edge, for example, is something people thought, okay, well, I'm either carving or I'm not. And they don't think about the dynamic nature of the carve.
Correct.
And now we can think, people might think, oh, I'm scoring well, but I'm not actually that progressive. What is that? And that will build a lot of improvement just in and of itself, showing people all the mechanics of a really good ski turn.
Because I must say, what something I find quite commonplace, especially when you look on the internet and maybe you ask someone what they think their problem is with their skiing, they might give quite what could be termed as like a static answer. Oh, I don't angulate enough, or I need to get more forward, or something like that. There's not. It's definitely not progressive edging. I think it's going to be you guys are, I know from like the APSI we have this term and it's in there, but you don't really learn about it or really teach it much until higher levels. And I think it's fantastic. I remember we did the Zoom session, you said, like, should a beginner be taught about this, or do we just like tell experts? I was like, no, everybody should have the chance to look under the hood and know what good skiing is. I don't believe you should really hold stuff back.
Yeah.
I think to someone's skill level, when they go do it, they'll feel they won't be able to do it. But if you're an athletic person, you find out about that, you could cut off your first intention of not stuffing around, getting to being a really good skier faster.
Yeah. And, you know, we've actually been quite cautious about, we wouldn't actively recommend Carve to absolute beginners, for example. There's so much that an instructor needs to do to acquaint you to this whole sport, but we do find total beginners pick up the product and do pretty well with it, and they actually get really good, and they sometimes get really good really fast. And I think, you know, we're quite cautious because we wouldn't go out and recommend it. We've designed it for intermediates, advanced skiers, even experts. And just to be clear on that, if you're confident parallel skiing, you're at the right level for this product, right the way up to top level instructors. But we do find total beginners actually, because they're getting that feedback, they can go probably faster than we would have thought possible, just using that mechanism.
Yep. Jamie, with the app, what area of the Carve app do you wish more users engaged with?
So we have this mode that we made with Ted, and we do have a lot of people use it, but we think even more use it, they get so much more value from it, because it's one of these real-time coaching modes. And essentially what happens is you get an intro from Ted, tells you about how it's going to improve your carving. We have 40 different levels. And then as you go through the system, it initially focuses on one part of your skiing, and then it moves it to more and more complex parts of your skiing to really get you carving, get you on an edge. And the interesting thing is, when we look at the data, we can see that when people use that mode, they really improve. So I think there's so much more potential, you know, so we obviously designed the app with this in mind, but when we think about how to design the app, we think, okay, how can we make sure that we get as many people into this, because it's having such incredible effects on their skiing. So maybe Charlie's got one as well, I don't know.
What do you think? Because I mean, I guess the most popular mode function is free ski mode. Is just turn it on, ski, do what you're doing, and then see if it has a suggestion. The ski with Olympian one's a little more of a structured type sort of progression, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
It's exactly what I was saying at the beginning. So we have these two kind of ways to interface with the product. First is that free ski mode. So you're just setting it, and every time you finish a segment, so when you stop skiing, you hear a ski IQ. And then when you get to the end of the run and the lift, you hear a tip about what you can do to improve next run. So it's a really powerful, kind of like fun way to initially sort of start thinking about your technique and start making technique into a game. And then once you really want to level up on a specific part of your technique, so say you're getting a tip, what the system will do is it'll actually recommend you a certain part of the system. So to have a real time. So you can, you know, maybe it's like focusing on your edge similarity. And so you can really start to dial in and basically improve at that thing with the real time coaching. So
yes,
it's really about kind of minimizing the time between you doing something and having that correction to create this like very, very powerful feedback loop. So the idea is that at the end of the run, you could actually have, you know, maybe sort of 30 or 40 interactions with the system and sort of slight nudges to improve your technique. So it's a lot faster. It's a lot quicker way of learning.
Yeah.
So yeah, most of the time people will ski on that free ski because it, you know, it's fun with friends and you don't have to kind of think too much about where you're going to ski and things. But once they, you know, once you really get into it and you want to kind of
really
level up,
once
you get through the easy things, then
And that's, I think that's just human behavior. People are on the lazy side in general. So you heard it from like the founder here. He's like, use the app. People, you know, like you buy a ski and instructors talk about like, use the whole ski, use the tip, use the tail. Mm. You got this app, this technology, you utilize it. Because I think a lot of people don't get right into it. And you guys are pushing more in that direction, aren't you? This kind of active coaching mode.
Exactly,
where it's like people can look at stuff, but then it is really getting involved in like sending you down a pathway.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like halfway between free ski and one of these like very active coaching modes, because it naturally guides you through the whole coaching system. So it's a really kind of easy kind of step from free ski into a more kind of real time experience.
So I heard Alex said you're actually doing a ski improvement camp coming up soon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you excited for that?
Yeah, really excited. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
What are you going to go in there? I'm sure you're not going to be able to switch off from like thinking about translation to car. But like personally, what do you hope to come away from that camp improving in your own skiing?
Well, so if we get some, it's quite early season. If we get some off piste, I'd love to do some off piste skiing because that's definitely something I want to improve. On piece, it's really, yeah, it's really getting those high edges and really, really carving, you know, looking like Ted.
So, yeah.
My ski IQ is 153. And so, yeah, it's definitely good, but I think, you know, I'd love to try and get it to like the very top of the leaderboard. So
yeah,
I'll be asking Riley for that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. It's interesting, for me anyway, that comment about the off piste we were kind of discussing before. I think some people like that's definitely super fun. Like the most, I love it. I think off piste skiing is the best. But I think sometimes people don't realize how much you will improve that area by just stepping back, going back a level, doing a camp, kind of like, or working on some skills back to like that work in Olympian mode instead of kind of just having a bash at it kind of thing. So it's just interesting. Like that's where people want to go, but the pathway there, I know that makes it easier is work on these like fundamentals that might be a bit, you know, not in this, that you think not in the exact direction of going towards your goal. So,
yeah, I think isn't, you know, I mean, obviously you're the expert, but I think it's a lot to do with when you're on piste, it's quite forgiving. So you can make these mistakes and you can get away with them, but then you can't make them off piste. So if you actually try and focus on not making the mistakes on piste, then you can learn the muscle memory.
Yes.
You know, so you're not just like unbalanced and you're tilting your edges together. So when you do get off piste, you're actually skiing naturally.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And,
the Charlie, there's back to the metrics thing. I got to try out a new metric this season and we were chatting a little bit. Turn G-force.
Yeah.
Bringing the G's in.
Yeah.
That's my favorite metric so far.
I think mine too.
Yeah. Can you explain what it is? And then you said it was actually, it's not super, like you had to put some maths into it to figure out. Yeah. Can you talk how you did that? And then, explain the metric.
So, I mean, turn G-force is something we've been after for a few years. It, you know, I think even back when Jamie first got going, I'm sure it was something you guys were looking at as well. But we tried to quantify it. So what we're trying to measure basically is the acceleration in the turn that is inside. So it's the centripetal force that you experience as you turn across the mountain. It's the force that you balance against to actually do a turn in the first place. So it's super important for skiing. We wanted to try and work out a way to measure it. One of our sensors in the insole is an accelerometer. So this measures acceleration, which is, you know, mass times acceleration is force. So if you can measure the acceleration, then you can work out the force. Basically, we always wanted to do it, but if I have a look at the insole, so the sensor basically measures in 3D space. But when you ski, your sensor doesn't just stay flat, it moves with your ski because we're in the boot and the boot moves with the ski as well. So we can measure in a certain axis, but we then, when you turn, that axis changed. So what we, the breakthrough that we were able to do, so one of the team, Sam, she made this discovery, was to use the angle of the ski to then isolate the axis that is the horizontal force, the acceleration in the turn. So by, basically every step of the turn, we're adjusting for the right edge angle. Then we found suddenly this metric, the accuracy of it and its correlation with ability had increased a whole load. So
you don't actually even need the pressure sensors for this one, though like when people do it, the senses you're getting thrown to the, like the best feeling in a ski turn is that G-force feeling.
We don't need the pressure sensors. It's the accelerometer, which is part of the motion sensor.
Yeah, amazing.
And like you said, it's so fun to ski with. I tried it out over the summer as well. And, you know, it kind of felt to me like it's correlating with how much fun I was having. Like
That's what we both agreed on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like you lay over, you do your best turn, you feel the G-force and balancing against it. And it was super addictive to try and push it up. And yeah, I saw TED scores. You know, he can get over 4 Gs, which is just crazy.
What did you get?
I could just about get to like 2.5, maybe 2.8. But yeah, I want to try and get to 3. But TED obviously gets incredible scores there.
Yeah.
When you think about, you know, what skiing is, you're mainly bouncing against your outside ski. And, you know, kind of like bench pressing 4 times your body weight on one ski when you can, you know, withstand that force.
Yeah.
Super impressive. So yeah, it's a really cool metric. It correlates with how well you're skiing. It's really fun to try and kind of push it up. So yeah, we're really excited about this metric.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like a rocket ship taking off is around 3 to 4 Gs. So, you know, when you hear that Ted's getting 4 Gs, he's like going through a rocket launch every turn. It's pretty cool. I think fighter pilots at max are pulling 6 Gs and then they start to like have problems with blacking out and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's, if people are playing with the G-Force monitors, you should keep these numbers in mind. If you're getting near to 4, it's pretty damn impressive.
But you know, how I was mentioning you guys have the unique opportunity to maybe not just teach people with the skill system, you've now got something like the G-Force sort of thing. And then, you know, if that's what, because the kind of the cool thing is, as we said, like that correlates with fun factor, which is totally why people keep coming back to skiing, like make it more fun. So if people have kind of a measurement almost of that and see where they're at, then they can go back, work on some of these other finer elements, go back, maybe play with the G-Force things, hopefully, you know, feel a change, see a change in the score. I think it's really cool. Like, it's very unique in that way.
Yeah, I kind of see our history in terms of some big steps of massive like unlocks that have taken so much time and energy. So just making this product work took years, like years in China trying to make it so it doesn't break, so it's sensitive in the right places. Even how we route the cables, we looked at pressure maps of, you know, thousands of people's feet in boots from skiing to work out exactly how to route the cables to minimize pressure on the foot. Once we had all that, we could develop great data science because now we have accurate data. And then we can develop a metric system that allows people to improve. I think now, and the stuff that we're really excited about that we've done a lot of work on this summer, is building context. So the system up till now has been brilliant on a well-groomed slope where there's quite stable conditions and you can ski and improve and you can kind of work, but the system also kind of doesn't have to adapt to loads of changing terrain. Obviously, we're all skiers, like our whole team are skiers, and we know that, you know, sometimes your best skiing is when the terrain isn't quite so simple. Mm-hmm. And that's when we also feel like we're doing our best skiing. It's a sport of versatility skiing. So yeah, we spent a lot of time working on, okay, well, when we have fun as skiers, how can Carve have more of a role in that environment? So we developed really, really smart ways that Charlie and his team have worked on all summer to determine what the terrain is underfoot, what the steepness is. So we can start to adjust for that and make this apply much more to all the variety of contexts that you ski in. And for us, that's where the fun is coming in as well, because as skiers, like, that's kind of the fun part, isn't it? It's yes, as much about terrain as it is about putting in at like one perfect turn.
And that's probably a good like topic to go into just for the people that are listening that own Carve and have used it. You know, that's probably one thing they've maybe complained about is, oh, I can only get good scores when it's great snow, this certain pitch. So you're basically saying you guys have now worked on ways to detect that,
mm-hmm,
put in almost like a filter or an algorithm to kind of show that there's difficulty there so you don't get deducted points, yeah, because it's, yeah, rougher snow. It sort of filters it out. Yeah, because I remember when I was beta testing some stuff, I had to say what the snow type was like.
Yeah.
Was it rough? Was it groomed? Mm-hmm. That sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're also now getting pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
is crazy. I mean, that's going to be a big one, right? To get all the angles and all the slopes.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing, like, what this can add to our data set. You know, as a coach, for example, when you're coaching, you take that into account when you see a video of someone or you're working on snow. You don't like ignore the terrain,
yeah,
and just coach them based on, you know, the turn in 3D space. I think for us, Carve was a really amazing kind of carving arc measuring device. And if you can hold that quality of turn as you move into harder and harder terrain, you're going to get rewarded for it. And we have these really amazing graphs. Charlie's able to look at a whole population, and we take the really brilliant skiers and the average skiers and the less average, like maybe lower intermediate skiers. And we look at how your ski IQ deteriorates as the terrain gets harder, because now we can see if the terrain's harder.
And
it's pretty interesting. It's like almost like your versatility score. So someone like Ted or yourself, you probably find really good consistency. You're still getting a great like turn shape in as the terrain gets harder. Maybe someone like me, maybe a bit less polished, I start to see that fall off like quite severely. And we actually have this really cool graph where we can see like normal skiers, it like drops down a lot. Instructors, it drops down. And
this
still
is,
quite
this is
a lot.
Terrain and snow
yeah,
conditions.
As the terrain's yeah. getting harder, the IQ is dropping more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you see someone like Ted and it's pretty much flat. And it's like,
I think
that's
I remember
the,
you showing me that graph. Yeah, yes,
yeah,
yeah.
And so he should be rewarded for that. And so we wanted to make sure that when you are doing something more like awesome, it feels great to you, it's kind of challenging you, and you're skiing well, Carve's going to really reward that now. So it yeah. should be really fun in different conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. And the any other new changes coming this winter?
Well, we've always got changes. That's kind of the nice thing, is like we've got a team who work all summer and try and pull the product forward. So I think we've got more data that comes in every year. So we've got new metrics coming out. I think those will be a game changer, especially for advanced level skiers who are looking to get the edge in how they carve. The terrain changes are massive. And we're also working on a new real-time coaching mode. So with TED mode that Jamie spoke about, we call it TED mode, but train with an Olympian if you're in
yeah,
the
yeah.
I think with train with Olympian, we had this amazing like jump forward working with TED, where he wanted to make a very progressive mode that built skill upon skill and it adapted as you skied. And what we're now looking to do is to take how that's working, but adapt to the terrain around you. So if you're skiing on a harder pitch, the level is going to adjust to the terrain. So for us, I think if there's one word for the season, it would be context, because we tried to take account of context in almost every feature that we've built. So whether it's how the metrics or the ski IQ is working, or whether it's how the active coaching, the actual real-time training is working, Carve is trying to adapt now to the terrain around you so it can give you more contextual and more relevant advice.
Yeah.
So yeah, so quite a lot being worked on.
Yeah, because you have a leaderboard like within Carve, monthly and seasonally?
It can be daily, weekly, and all season, and it does reset each
and
season.
And resort.
Yeah, and you can cut down king by resort, your... which is kind of like, I was the number two skier in Cortina for quite a long time until about five people knocked me down at the end of the season. So I was really happy with that for like most of the season. I screenshotted it, don't worry. So yeah, I think that resort level view is really great, because a lot of us ski, like we know our local resort and we even know some of the people there, and it's nice to have that leaderboard a bit more local.
Yeah. And so can I mention who was king of the leaderboard? Well, there was a skier king of the leaderboard, highest IQ, end of last season.
Yeah.
With some of the changes, maybe filters and algorithm tweaks, that sort of stuff, can you say who actually had the highest ski IQ?
So who had the highest ski IQ last year?
Last season.
Yeah.
After
So it's an instructor called Tyler who was at the top of the leaderboard last time. And then, yeah, we've gone away. We've created three new metrics. We've tuned two other metrics, all kind of, you know, looking at Ted's data in particular and talking to him and yourself and many other instructors. And that the real goal for Ski IQ and the metrics this season was to make it reward more dynamic carving, instead of it being kind of getting to a higher jungle, but you know, more of a park and ridey turn. So we've worked really hard to try and reward this type of skiing. And based off our current analysis, so we're still going through the process of finalizing everything, but of all the skiing from last season, Ted now goes to the top of the leaderboard with the new version of Ski IQ, which is obviously great. We want the best skiers with the highest skill to be at the top of the leaderboard. But he'll have to set a run as good this year to get to the top of the leaderboard. As Alex says, it resets. And no one skied with that, the new number that we're going to release, no one else has skied with it. So once you can hear the new Ski IQ every time you stop, people will be able to kind of optimize for that in particular. And yeah, we'll see who's there at the end of the season.
Yeah, that was, I must say, that news was like music to my ears, because I just, but it's also a testament to you guys. You look at where you're at the moment and you go, hang on, Ted Ligety, we know how good he is, ski with him. But then he's not sitting at the top of the leaderboard with Ski IQ, someone else is. What's going on there? Yeah. Tweak it. So then, like you said, so it's not that you want to reward that, it's that you want your system to be truly honest.
Exactly, yeah. It's helped us tune the actual metrics. So one of our metrics looks at how you move forwards at the start of the turn. And by looking at Ted's data, we could actually see that he was moving forwards so early, it was before our window was looking for it. So we were able to extend the window. And then, you know, the when we develop metrics, we want to make sure that they're based in kind of coaching literature, that you know, it's what good skiing is all about, that we can measure them to be accurate, and then also that they're understandable for skiers. And in this case, you know, we knew the concept of moving forwards at the start of the turn to pressure the tip at the start. We knew that was the right thing to do from a skiing technique perspective. So we're like, why is Ted not getting the highest score here? Or not the highest, but a high score. And then, yeah, looking at the data, you can see he's doing it earlier than we were looking for. So that's one example of how we've been able to make the system better by, you know, we need the best skiers to be using the system so that we can then make it even better. If we didn't have him there, then, you know, we're not going to be looking for that.
Yeah, and constantly improving. And
yeah.
What if you had the looking glass into the future, what would you kind of love Carve to be, say, in 10 years' time? What could it do? What would it look at?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some really interesting developments in technology to think. I think we've already talked a lot about it in terms of, you know, really working across the whole mountain is like something really big for us. So, you know, thinking about when we started Carve, you know, it's called Carve, and you carve one piece, obviously. And that's obviously a very big part of our skiing. But, you know, when a lot of people think about skiing, they also think a lot about the backcountry and really just properly getting coaching across across the whole mountain is our long-term vision. I think in terms of creating like a very powerful coaching experience, there's some really interesting stuff happening at the moment with the large language models. So obviously you've seen ChatGPT, and the thing about a coach and the thing about when you're skiing is you want the interaction to be verbal. You don't want to have to look at your phone. And so there's some really powerful things that we, you know, obviously in the pipeline, where we can take this huge data set that we have about the skier. We have a huge data set of all the knowledge of, you know, instruction. We have a huge data set of the ski resort. We know what the weather's like. You know, there's so much data coming in that long term, as you kind of factor all of those things in, I just think the potential, and you use the, a large language model, or ChatGPT, as the interface, with great audio recognition and great audio pronunciation with the models we're seeing, you can just create such a powerful experience. So I think, you know, it's really kind of the combination of all these technologies that are kind of all coming together, and it's really exciting because we're basically at the perfect point, and we've already got the data because we've already got this huge data set of people who've been skiing. And I always look at our data, and it's, you know, it's like we're kind of scratching the surface. Like we have terabytes and terabytes of data on our servers, and you know, we're constantly thinking about how we improve things. But the exciting thing is we've kept all that really, really detailed data. And so as we go back into the, you know, systems and rewrite our models and get better and better, we can start incorporating those. So
when you first started, was AI, that these kind of systems, ChatGPT, did you even know?
So
had you heard about that?
Yeah. So my PhD, one of the parts of it was machine learning. So one of the things I thought we should do, and, you know, and we're already doing it, it's really exciting, is really thinking about the feedback loop. So, you know, if you think about what a coach does, first they have to be really effective at understanding what your problem is, and then they have to be really effective at actually giving you the right piece of feedback. And so the interesting thing about what we do is, obviously we've talked a lot at the moment about, you know, thinking about like what measuring what good is, you know, thinking about with Ted and thinking about what good is in that context. But the other thing, and you can use machine learning to optimize that. And we do a lot of thinking about like, how can we optimize the whole system so that we make sure that Ted is given the best score and the best people are getting the best scores and the weightings are appropriate.
Yeah.
And then the other side, which we're getting better and better at, which I think is really exciting and is kind of borrowed from education technology. So these big kind of ed tech companies like Duolingo is essentially optimizing the feedback to be the most effective piece of feedback. Because, you know, not only are we collecting loads of data about people skiing, we're also giving them all these interventions. So we're saying, you know, lean forward. We're saying, like next run, focus on tilting your edges at the same time. All of those interventions and the actual language we use is all measured, and we actually see the impact on the customers. So over time, we're creating this very, very powerful database, not just of how people ski, but also how people react to feedback.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, very interesting place to be. I don't think there's any company that's ever done this on a wide scale, is to have a huge data set of what you've actually have told people, and you actually see how they react to it.
Yeah.
Because you think like, yeah, there's not really anyone trying to like teach technique across any sports. So that was really like the philosophy of Carve. It's like, okay, we can get to this really interesting place and collect really interesting data and then hopefully make a very powerful product with it. So yeah, it's very, very exciting to see that kind of coming to fruition. Obviously there's lots more work to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that everyone learns differently, right? And as Jamie says, we've got this diverse data set with lots of different people. So not only will we find like, oh, this is an effective bit of feedback, but linking that to the type of person potentially, you know, that's another key step that I think will give us a big unlock. But yeah, there's definitely a long way to go. As Alex was saying with the context, like, you know, that's super important. You know, if you're getting a low score, but you've done like one of your best runs, but it was just super steep, it was bumpy. You know, we need to work out that is, the reason that you had a lower score and either adjust for it or compensate in some way. So yeah, we need to make sure that we can link improvement. We can understand what improvement is, which we can, and make sure that's all over the mountain. And then we can hopefully find like this optimal learning pathway for people.
Yeah, back to like that, the Turn G-Force one. It's just very comforting to have like a metric that directly correlates with a felt sense. Now, you're adding something to your ski setup. This insole is going inside the ski boot. And I know you guys, like the big question probably first of all, so many people is it going to fit? Is it going to ruin like my boot fit? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have this question a lot, and it's because, look, we get it. The boot is a really precious environment. If you feel like you've got your boots dialed, well, it's probably taking you a while to get there, and you're really going to be protective about that. I think the first thing to say, you can't sit here. Maybe I'll just tear this sort of low-key, lovely stand we've made. It's actually pretty thin. I think most people don't really see the thickness, but it's generally around 3 mil. And what we've done when we've built it is we've routed some of the circuitry and put any thickness we had to put, we put it in places we know that for 99.9% of people, there's no issues because we have pressure data from the boot from literally thousands, tens of thousands of people. And we're in almost every single boot that's available on the market. But the most important thing is it goes under the liner. So it sits on the plastic boot board. So you take the liner out, you put it in under the liner on that plastic boot board, and it's very neutral. It's not adding volume in different. It's like, it's not like a footbed where it's adding volume on the sides or anything. It's just very, very thin piece of material that sits under your liner. And for a lot of people, even I dare say it might even improve boot fit because it creates a little bit of lift. It stops a little bit of that float that might be commonly happening, especially with leisure skiers. And you might actually find you get more control, weirdly, by adding a small bit of volume to the boot. But even if you do have very dialed race boots, you can opt for a slightly thinner insole. In very extreme cases, you can actually shave down a boot board or go to a thinner boot board. And some people, boot fitters are happy to do this in many cases. But we have almost no issues with people returning it for boot fit, but there's a lot of anxiety up front.
Yeah.
And even Ted skied with Carve without any boot mods. For example, if Ted Ligety, you know, a five-time world champ, is able to put it in race fit boots, I think most of us will be okay. So I think, you know, we worked really hard on this issue. And we, and you know, in the case that you do have an issue and it just doesn't quite work with your particular setup and you can't get it to work, then we do offer a boot fit guarantee and you can just send them back to us and we'll issue you a refund. So, you know, we get that this is a really precious issue and we've done everything in our power to make sure that it's, if anything, you wouldn't even notice they were there for most skiers.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that too, because I think unless you have a really high volume foot, and those people would know that, and they've got pressure on the top, most people are actually, like you said, are going to benefit. It's going to give a more snug fit inside. And if it is too snug, you can reduce volume in other places. The boot board can be ground, and there are ways around it. And yeah, I didn't realize, but yeah, basically no one really returns it because of that. And
no.
Yeah. So a lot of
honestly, no. It's kind of like one of those things you're so worried about until you try it, and then I think for most of us skiing in off the shelf boots, that, you know, it fits with custom molded boots, it works with custom insoles because it goes under the liner. Mm-hmm. There's actually no problems.
Yeah, excellent. So in like kind of wrapping up here, Jamie, if I say I'm the skier that went, this is pretty cool, it sounds interesting, and they go and they get a set of Carve units, they download the app, and they head to the snow, they turn on Carve and they do a run, what essentially are they seeing? What's their experience when they then stop and look at the app?
Yeah, exactly. So first thing is, as you finish the run and you're on the chairlift, you're going to get a ski IQ. So that's our definition of how good that run was. So average is 100, and then it obviously goes all the way up to 150, 160, maybe even 170. And so that's a kind of like first measure of like how well you're skiing. But that's like the very top of the kind of pyramid of details. So under that, we separate the skiing technique into four different skills. So you have balance, edging, rotary, and pressure. And then we go one step deeper to look at individual metrics that individual skiing characteristics that correspond to that skill. So for instance, edging, we've got edge angle, we've got edge similarity. Edge similarity is actually a really good example of a metric, which is really powerful. So say on that ski run, you're actually doing a bit of an A-frame. Then so, you know, you might've got like 125 ski IQ, you're putting on that outside ski and you're not bringing them nicely together. And so Carve will pick that up and it'll say your ski IQ is 125. And then it will go one step deeper to actually identify the problem is your edge similarity. So if you're doing an A-frame, you're probably getting an edge similarity of about 30 or 40 maybe. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you some tips. So you'll get a recommendation. The first one will be just an audio one. So you'll hear, okay, next run, focus on rolling your skis together so that you can have that nice fluid motion and not one ski and then the other, which creates the A-frame. And then what you can also do is in the app, you can obviously track your edge similarity every run, but you can also get videos on how to actually improve your edge similarity. So the idea is that you have that simple ski IQ, then you have a tip, then you have that tip will be around a metric. So you can actually kind of drill down into what that metric is. You can watch videos on that metric. And then as you start focusing on that metric, you can actually improve it. So good edge similarity. If I'm on a good run and I'm like pumped up, I can probably get like 70 or 80. I've seen Ted get basically 100, I think. Yeah. So 100%. So his edges are basically moving like perfectly together
all the way through the turn.
Yeah.
It is based, right? It's not just, oh, when one snapshot moment, it is measuring it. Like you said, many seconds or times a second.
Yeah. It's very hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's incredible indicator of skill. You know, it's, you can't fake that. You got to be good to get that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. We covered a lot of stuff. I think there's some really exciting things coming for new users and current users this season. Some great new metrics, changes to the Ski IQ system. The leaderboard, I think, is going to be, you know, I'm going to be watching that closely and see where a couple of runs I put down go this season.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And good luck with the future.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it's been a great day.